everybody, welcome back to the Prig Podcast. I'm Joey at GoSo TV on this beautiful Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. Can you believe it? It's already November. It's amazing how this year, not that it has gone slow or fast, it's just been maybe not as good as we thought. Remember how we thought 2020 was horrible and how 2021 was going to be so amazing? Well, it's been more of the same, right? Or if maybe even worse. In some ways, I know for us, it kind of has been. But anyway, before we get into all that, I want to actually go through a little devotional. Welcome, by the way. Make sure that you follow me on Instagram at David Trigg for all the latest different artists that are being produced here by Victorious Records. And you can, if you would like to, if you are a artist or you know someone who is a singer, songwriter, hip hop, Christian, R&B, soul, trap, of course, worship, then please have them go to my Instagram at David Trigg. But November 2nd, it says, I thought we start with a devotional. It says, grow strong in the light of my presence. Your weakness does not repel me. I love that statement because I think that, I don't know if we think that God repels our weakness, but at least for me, maybe you're the same way. I don't like to feel weak. It's not about admitting weakness. It's not about the fact that I am weak, that we are weak, but admitting it to ourselves, to, at least in my case, can be difficult. I don't maybe even use the word weakness as much as failure. As an Enneagram 3, if you're familiar with the Enneagram, shout out to all my Ennea Goso pals. Weakness for a 3 looks like failure. For a 1 looks like you're doing the wrong thing or you can't fix another person, et cetera, et cetera. For an 8, you can't control your circumstances. For a 9 is you don't like conflict. So all those things could be considered weakness. And the point here is that our weakness does not repel God. When we fail, if you're a 3, that does not repel God. God is not looking at me, for example, and I feel like I have failed at, I don't know, at church leadership or at music or as a, maybe as a husband, or I'm not in shape, you name it, right? All these things that we maybe tell ourselves. Well, not only is that a lie to us, but it's a lie to God. It's a lie about God. God does not view my life as a failure. We consider ourselves a failure or et cetera, but God does not see us that way. He's not repelled by the fact that I didn't lead my church to become a church of 10,000. He's not repelled by the fact that my music isn't hitting a million streams on Spotify. Those are the things that I feel like are my failures, but God sees me as his son, as his beloved son. He sees you as his beloved daughter. And so it says here, your weakness does not repel me. On the contrary, it attracts my power, which is always available to flow into a yielded heart. It's so true. The truth is, as the Bible says, that in our weakness is our strength. The fact is that when I do feel like I have failed at this or that, that's when my heart becomes open. That's when our hearts become vulnerable and we basically allow the Spirit of God to actually move within us. We allow him to teach us the lessons and the practices that we need, the truths that we need to believe, that he is sufficient, that he is our strength, that he is our security, that he's our foundation, and that we are loved by God. Like my friend Water Walker just wrote, that we are royalty, that we're not the failure that we think about. We're not our past. We're not our present, we're not even our future. We are beloved of God. We are royalty. And that attracts, and that looks like attracting the power of God. When we are weak, it attracts the power of God. When we are strong, when we are full of ourselves, or when we think that we're always right or that we're in control, that repels God because God can't move because we're basically close-minded to him. But it says here, on the contrary, when we are weak or when we experience weakness, it attracts the power of God, which is always available to flow into a yielded heart. Do not condemn yourself, the devotional here says, for your constant need of help. Do not condemn yourself for your constant need of help. That is so powerful because That's another thing that I deal with, and maybe you do as well, is when am I going to learn the lesson? When am I going to change? I feel like I trip over the same things. I lose perspective. I see a comment that isn't nice or positive, and I feel down, right? All these things that we keep allowing to get through our armor, they're the same two, three things, the same three lies. And yet it says here that God doesn't condemn us for going to him with the same things or with a constant need of help. Maybe they're not the same things, but we can feel like we should know better, like we should be stronger. Like we should be, I wrote a song called, I Should Be Stronger. I wish I was stronger. And I think that, yes, of course, we all wish we were stronger in life, but I think that there is the bigger truth is it's wonderful to need God. It really is, because life constantly throws us curveballs. And it's better that we realize our dependency upon God and our Savior Jesus than to try to be or appear like we're strong or to think that we're right or to try to control others. It says here, instead, come to me with your gaping neediness. Let the light of my love fill you. I remember a few months ago, I was dealing with this major anxious thought. I'm very somatic with my anxiety. I think that my toothache is tooth cancer. I think that my headache is a brain aneurysm. And it all comes from trauma in my childhood and et cetera. And the last, really, it's been like a year plus, maybe 2 years, my beautiful mother-in-law was here visiting a lot with Alzheimer's. And that really, I would say, impacted me. It brought me a lot of fear that I was like her. And so maybe I would just trip over my words, or I would, quote, forget where my keys are, things that I have always done. And my brain would go to this fear, this place of fear and panic, just pure panic about, oh, I'm just like my mother-in-law. I'm somehow genetically or at least just a behaviorally connected to her. And so I'm also going to die. Of course, that's not true. And I think by the grace of God, he healed me about a month or two ago of that fear. It was demonic, actually. I knew it, but I finally, I had been praying for it, but God just finally did a work in my mind. But my point is that sometimes we have these gaping needs that we feel like we can't go to God with because it's the same thing or they're silly. And we think that God is tired of us. I mean, maybe the people around us. I mean, sometimes I think my poor wife, Rochelle, she must be so tired. And you know what? Sometimes we do need to be aware of how we're making other people feel with our same old things and to let that encourage, challenge us to change. But when it comes to God, that's not how he works. He's not sitting there tapping his foot saying, when are you going to change? When are you going to stop being so somatic with your anxiety or with your depression or with your fear or your control issues or your anger? Instead, he's always there, always by my side, always there to support us and to be that prodigal father, you could say, you know, the father to the prodigal son who's always waiting for you with open arms. It says here, a yielded heart does not whine or rebel when the going gets rough. Isn't that wonderful? A yielded heart does not whine or rebel. Those are other things. I don't deal with the rebellion as much as with the whining. Like, oh, woe is me. What happened to me 3 years ago, 3 months ago, 3 minutes ago? Maybe you're more, and I'm both. I mean, I rebel too, but we all have tendencies to, we have a tendency to be both or one or the other, or maybe you do something else, but it says a yielded heart does not whine or rebel when the going gets rough. It musters the courage to thank me even during hard times. That is really what maturity is about. Right now, I don't have a job. My church and I, we had kind of this ugly split, like a divorce. It was really painful, and it just wasn't pretty at all. After 5 years of being at this place that I really loved and really had a heart for and whatever, it just ended in a really sour way. But it says here that being a man of God or a woman of God is that you, when you muster the courage to thank him even during hard times. I thank God for the 5 years that I was there. I thank God for all the relationships. I thank God for all that I learned. I thank God for the mistakes that I made. I thank God for just the fact that I was a a minister of the good news, and I'm still a minister of the good news, but that I could make a living and pay my bills and more than anything, do what I love to do, which is teach the Bible and sing, mentor people. What a beautiful experience, and I hope to do it again. But regardless, the point here is about being thankful for the hard times. What can you say right now in thanks to God? And choose that hard thing, that painful thing that is unresolved, that you can't figure out, that it's not going well. Choose that area and, like they say, be grateful. Practice gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Start a gratitude journal. So I don't really do a lot of gratitude journaling. I do love to write. But when I do, it really changes me. So, for example, another thing is, so I'm not in the best shape of my life. I was like 10 years ago, but anyway. But what can I thank God for in that area? That I'm alive, that I don't have this virus, that I still have my two legs and two arms, and that I have a garage filled with all kinds of weights and heavy bags, and that I have a family that loves to work out. So all those are positive things that change my brain chemistry, that change my brain function from guilt and shame to possibilities. So practice that and thank God for the hard times, because we all know that that's when God draws near. So the devotional here ends with, yielding yourself to my will is ultimately an act of trust. It really is, isn't it? It says here, in quietness and trust is your strength. Do you have a hard time trusting other people? I wonder. It's not everyone does, but when you grow up, like many of us that listen to this podcast, with abandonment issues, orphan issues, trust is not easy, because we have trusted and it's been painful and we want to trust, but we don't feel like other people are trustworthy. Or sometimes we don't trust ourselves. We don't feel like we're very trustworthy. And so we may shy away from deep relationships, or we do have these pity parties, and so we kind of isolate. I know that's what I tend to do. But when we trust God with those painful areas, he draws near. When I trust him with my church experience, with all the things where I feel like, gosh, I wish I would have done this, or why didn't this happen? When I trust God with those painful areas of my life, with my exercise or my lack of exercise, with you name it, then that's when I can find my peace. When I finally get to the end of myself, I can find the beginning of the strength of God. And that's really how we need to live these days. I want to read these two verses here that the devotional gives, three verses actually. In Psalm 116, it says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Wonderful. It talks about having rest, about being at rest. And then Ephesians 5 says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the attitude of gratitude there. Look for things to be thankful for. And then Isaiah 30 says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." Amazing, huh? What God wants from us is repentance and rest. He wants quietness and trust. And yet sometimes, like a tester, we don't want it. We want nothing to do with it. May God forgive us for those rebellious times, for those whiny times, for those control freak times. May he help us to endure and to trust him. May he help us to surrender, most of all, the things we can't control, the failures of our past, the people and areas we can't control, the envy, the fear that we feel, our pride, all those hidden things, all those hidden agendas and unconscious motivations, that we need to just become clean and say, "Lord, I need you." As far as, I guess, an update on life and maybe some lessons that I'm learning that I can share with you, I think one of the ones that I've talked about a little bit is the being there for my beautiful wife during her grieving process. So as I've mentioned before, maybe you've seen on my Instagram, at David Trigg, by the way, you can follow me there. my beautiful wife, Rochelle, her mom passed away about 3 months ago now. It was really, you could say it was a week from hell. And I don't say that lightly. It was about 2 months ago. October. Yeah. Was it August? No, it was October. Yeah. Man, it seems so weird that. No, it was August, right? Yeah, it was August. Yes. Yeah, it's just, I was thinking of when we left our church. It was August the 13th. It was Friday the 13th of all things. So September, October, almost, it's been 2.5 months. Well, that same week of August the 13th, that was a Friday. I think that same Tuesday is when Rochelle's dad had major cancer surgery to remove 3 cancerous tumors from his body. Very, very scary. We didn't know if he was going to make it. While that was happening, Rochelle's mom, who had been dealing with Alzheimer's, as I said, she passed away. My wife had been up there with her that weekend before, that Friday, Saturday. And I don't remember if it was that same Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday of that week, of Friday the 13th, that she passed away. And then dad had the same surgery. So literally, as I've mentioned here before, dad, you know, her husband, said goodbye to her from Cedars-Sinai here in LA. His wife is in Oregon and was saying goodbye to her through FaceTime. It's just horrible. And then that Friday, we have this horrible week at our church and everything blows up like it was going to. And we basically were suddenly left without income and without a job, without a church. And then that was in the heels of my lovely wife having also lost her job as a principal. They closed the school and they picked the other girl, blah, blah, blah. And then she interviewed many times to be a principal at other districts and basically all denied her. Everyone said no. And she made it to she would make it to the last one or two, not the one, but 2 or 3 finalists, and they picked someone else. So all of that happened at that same time, that same month, that same week. And I have seen my wife obviously become very sad. And kind of like she was telling me yesterday, her confidence has been shaken. Especially as a professional. Imagine, right? She had given 5 years also of her life to be an administrator as a vice principal and then a principal. And then it all suddenly ended. Very much like the same thing that I've been going through. So, you know, sometimes in marriage you have like one person go up and the other person's down. Well, this month we both were in the gutter at the same time. And then, of course, her parents and all that stuff. But God has been faithful, speaking of. I have whined and maybe even rebelled at times. But going back to this devotional, we can truly say that God has been faithful. We were able to take out a loan on the house to pay our bills. Rochelle did land a wonderful job teaching second grade, which she loves, and it's paying her well, at least enough to make ends meet. We were able to be there for mom as she passed away. Dad did get through the surgeries. He's still not well. It's still kind of a work in progress, as you can imagine, but he's making slow progress. My mom was in a car accident about 2 weeks ago, but by the grace of God, nothing happened. We've been able to have many artists, Christian, young people who love Jesus record here at the church, at the house. That was another very painful thing for me. I had to move my whole studio, all of my gear and all of my dreams and all the people. I had to move them out suddenly. I asked to stay, but they said no, which was another just slap on the face. And so I was down for, a few weeks, but I moved everything back. And by the grace of God, we're beginning to pick up. I still don't have any income, but I know that God will provide in due time. And I believe that He will. And really, right now is a time for my wife and I and our 3 young adults to come together. And we were, quote, we were fine about 6 months ago in terms of our pay, her as a principal and me as a pastor. And now we're not. But that's life. And God is still gracious and God is still faithful. And He's showing up in other ways. they're not financial at this point, but they are in terms of peace. I can honestly say that I have more peace than I've had in 5 years. And really the same goes for my wife. Imagine, as we often say, if she had gotten a job as a principal in Yorba Linda or somewhere crazy an hour away from here, while her dad is here or in Oregon dealing with all this stuff and her mom passing away, and it just would have been too much. So really we see the grace of God even in that. And so what are we learning? As I guess, as I was saying, I'm learning to be there for my wife in a practical way, doing groceries, doing the dishes, things I've always done, but just at a deeper level. Just being there for her, listening to her, carrying her emotionally, physically, spiritually, praying for her, getting up in the morning with her to pray for her as she goes to work, being there for her dad, and when he's here, caring for him and taking him to Rite Aid and taking him to the hospital. And when it comes to grieving her mom, the service, we still have to do the service. Because of dad, we haven't been able to even do the service for Rochelle's mom. She was cremated. And so we're waiting for that, but just being there for all those things and also resting with her, not pushing each other like we normally do to do more stuff and to accomplish great things, but to really show each other a lot of grace and compassion, just like this passage, to grow strong in the light of God versus in our own understanding, like Proverbs 3 says. It is a more mellow time for us, but we welcome it. We just came out of a very, like I know most of you out there, out of a very crazy, hectic season the last maybe 5 years, maybe even longer. And so this is a forced rest. I would rather be making $1 million, like I'm sure you would as well. I would rather my beautiful wife not be dealing with parent illness stuff. I would rather she be the principal of an amazing school that loves and supports her. I would rather be a lead pastor of an amazing church and have my songs be number one on the Billboard. But instead, we are loving each other. I've had the chance to counsel our kids, I've always counseled them, but in deeper ways. Now, as 22, 20, and 18 years, as they're now 22, 20, and 18 years of age, a time when it would be maybe normal to just kind of distance ourselves from our kids at that age. You know, they say that when we parent, in case you're a parent or you long to be, or maybe you're done with your kids being small, they say that coaches and counselors say that parents, we go through three stages. First, we're the caretakers or the caregivers. Then we are the coaches, and then we're the counselors. And so we've been through the caretaking of our babies. Now they're, as I said, young adults. Now we're into coaching and walking them through things. And then, of course, eventually we'll be counselors, just kind of giving them advice from a distance. But my point is that this time of more maybe mellowness and maybe being more a little bit in hibernation, forced hibernation, and yet it's a gift of God. It's allowed us to come together. I did go for a run yesterday, and I'm hoping to do that again today. Rochelle, as I said, has been grieving. We've said no to a few opportunities that really excited me. But it just wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right thing for us as a family. We've been watching Cottonwood, which we love, online on Sunday mornings. And not only is that something easy per se, but we've always enjoyed Bayless and really the whole Cottonwood family. It's brought our whole family, all five of us, a lot of comfort and peace. And what's great is after the service, we then have our own family church time where we worship and we pray for each other and we discuss the message and we just listen to each other, process what God is doing in our lives. So very precious times, especially, as I said, as we see these kids grow up, and soon they're going to have their own lives outside of us. And so these are precious times, even to be with Daisy, our dog, and to, as I said, record and read this devotional. I've always loved the scriptures, of course, like I'm sure you do, and prayer, but with this extended stay, this extended living situation here, home living, I've been spending more time just home, cooking, cleaning, as well as spending time with God, a little bit of working out before the craziness begins once again, hopefully sometime soon. So I guess some lessons for you. Number one is, what season are you in? Are you in a season of waiting, let the Lord guide you through that. Number two, are you in a season of pushing really hard and you're wanting to really rise and climb that ladder? Climb, young man, climb, young woman, and bring Jesus along. Make sure you don't forget him. And then third is just to remember that seasons come and seasons go, and yet the Lord remains faithful. Perhaps this is a time for you to grow in gratitude, in journaling, in writing, in running, in eating more healthy. It's crazy to see weakness as opportunity. It's not what we feel. It's not what we think. It's not what people tell us. It doesn't seem natural. And I don't think it is natural to be unemployed or to be not be healthy. Of course, those are not positive things. But what maturity does is it teaches you to see them as opportunities. And that's very difficult for most of us. But when we do, if we can just even once a day kind of capture that truth, then we will truly rest and we will truly live, because we will have a sense of peace, of love, and most of all, of gozo. So thank you again, everybody. Make sure that you do follow me at David Trigg. If you have any thoughts on this podcast, or you would like to maybe record, as I said, or start your own podcast, my side hustle is a media and music company called Trigg Media. So we'd love to help you with anything dealing with podcasting, live streaming, or music production. Thank you again for being here, and I will see you next time.